this may be our last chance to provide the means of saving civilization from annihilation.
There's much we can learn from each other.
One of those moments in history.
We are all together out on the internet.
Can there be a peace between us?
You were an eyewitness.
The people who grew up with the technology.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
A worldwide broadcasting system.
This is for you, for my life.
Please keep in touch.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the School Choice Show, and I'm excited to welcome the program, School Choice Advocate, author, Ed Temple. Ed, how are you? Happy New Year, and excited about our guest today.
Oh, for sure. This is one of the most popular programs in the country, and it's one I've been watching for years, and I've been following Frank Turek for I don't know how long. People always ask me how long things. I have no idea, but I can just tell you it's been a long time. And who we have here is Jorge Hill is the number one man in charge, and he's doing a lot of the same things Frank is, and he goes around and he's actually if you look online in every like us every type of format, he does the Spanish version, and he also does it in English. So he's very talented. And has a lot of the same intentions that we do in terms of finding a bunch of different ways to reach people, whether it's radio format or online or, moving to Instagram and so on and so forth. But we pretty much have a lot of the same goals in terms of teaching the truth. And obviously between – I think all of us believe that, that the Christian faith is the fact is it's just the truth. So that's what we are not ashamed of and believe it should be at least taught, whether it's the only thing taught or not, it should be taught. And so people have that option. But Jorge, can you tell us a little bit about Cross-Examined?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first of all, thank you guys for having me here. I'm excited to be able to chat with you guys today, and hopefully many people listen to this radio. Is very important what you guys are doing for the body of Christ and for freedom of speech, period. You know, this is one of the things that in this country we value, the ability to have different positions and to bring them to the table and discuss them. Now, Cross-Examine started in 2006, and it was the result of me and you were talking a little bit earlier. It's an interesting story about how Frank wrote a book called Correct, Not Politically Correct, Why Same-Sex Marriage Hurts Everyone. And he was a consultant. He was a person who was doing leadership trainings. He was working for Cisco, Bank of America, Coca-Cola, and many other big companies. And one of those who he was training, he was in the front row. The guy was just excited about the training. He decided to pick up his phone, look up Frank, look up Frank on the web, and it happens that the first thing that he saw was this book. Now, the man happened to be homosexual himself, so he goes into the human resources office, and he says, I want this man fired. He is, a bigot, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And that's what happened. So Cross-Examine, even though Frank's been doing the I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist stuff for years with Dr. Norman Geisler, before it was called the 12 Points to Show that Christianity is True. And Cross-Examine comes because Frank was out of a job. And he says, you know what? This is God's way to tell me that I need to focus on apologetics. And that's how Cross-Examine got started. I came on board in 2015. The organization continued to it was growing rapidly, and they needed somebody to take care of all their technological needs, social media, content creation, visuals, audio, and the like, and that's sort of my area of expertise. Other than apologetics, I came on board in 2015 full time, and then two years later, I became the executive director, given the fact that I was given the opportunity to hire a team to do what I was doing and to add some other people. We have video animators, we have video editors, audio engineers, and graphic designers, and now we can put out a lot of quality content. But it is a lot of the same thing that people like Reasonable Faith do and Reasons for Hope and other ministries. But the idea of cross-examining, we focus on cross-examining ideas against the truth of Christianity and giving a voice to those who are in high school and college to be able to hear our side of the story. So that's Frank travels and goes to different universities every year, different high schools around the country, and I do the same thing in Latin America.
Wow, that's an amazing thing that you're doing. And it takes time and effort and research to be able to really reach young people, right? You can't just spew a bunch of information. You really have to do it in a specific way, a different way when educating young adults and younger adults versus adults, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, I do things a bit different than most apologies when it comes to visual communication. I partnered up with J. Warner Wallace. You guys know the cold case homicide detective that became an apologist. He became a
Christian
for 35 years. So
yes.
Jim, as I like to call him, he's a close friend. He's one of my mentors, and he's probably one of the best visual communicators out there right now. And one of the things that I learned from him is that now we have a generation that it's been stimulated. I mean, they visual natives, they digital natives, everything that has to do with computers, with screens, and the attention span has been reduced from 20-some to 30-some seconds down to eight. Some people even say five. So what you need to do is you can keep them from engaged. You can keep them engaged for 3 hours, let's say Avengers, right? Infinity War or Endgame. And you can keep them there for 3 hours, but you have to make sure that you feed them information back to back. And it has to be a rush of stimuli, right? Visual, sound, scenes. If you look at the movies today, there's a cut or a scene every 5 to 10 seconds. Bam, 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 bam. Sometimes even faster than that. So the idea is when we go out into university campuses, churches, high schools, The way I do it is it takes me 2 weeks to create a 45-minute PowerPoint presentation because I'm adding graphics, I'm adding shorts from clips from different movies, so I get my animators to create a little animation for me. I add sound effects because you have to be a storyteller, but you have to be a storyteller in the way that they have their own language, and their own language is visualish. That's what they speak, and that's what we have to learn how to speak. As Christians, as educators, as communicators, we don't communicate until the other side gets the message. And it is our job to be translators of this message. But we have to translate it in the language that they understand. And that's why the whole visual communication is so important, because we want to reach the next generation.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And so are you saying that is it very effective to do it through the video streams, or is it, in person, or a combination of those? And how do you see that turning out?
Well, actually, studies show that most Gen Zers live in platforms like YouTube. That's their search engine. That's where they go get their knowledge. That's where they go get their questions answered, and that's where they hang out. Older generations like us, we go to Facebook. Young millennials go to Instagram. You got Snapchat. You got TikTok coming up. And we have to have a presence there, and we have to figure out how to do it. But I think the most effective way is a two-step approach in terms of, obviously, we have to be there answering questions one-on-one in person, hopefully putting together conferences. I just saw one, I think it was Passion 2020, and one of the guys was Ravi Zacharias. I learned a lot from Ravi, and I was glad to see. I don't even know what this – Passion 2020 is all about. But I learned about it because I follow Robbie closely, right? So I look at this and I said, well, this is a way to get apologetics out there. I don't know if whatever the theology of these, you know, conferences is sound or not, but at least bringing Robbie in will open the door for this. Now, like I said, I'm speaking from what I follow Robbie, so I'll learn about the conference. It's not the other way around. But what I'm saying is you have to bring this also the imagination. We have walked away from ideas like J.R.R. Tolkien or C.S. Lewis, where they were putting these Christian messages into their work. Narnia, The Lord of the Rings, all of these things that convey the Christian message, that ignite the wonder in the readers or the people who are watching these things. So a little bit of storytelling, using technology, and leveraging the mass communication power that has been given to us now, where me and you can be sitting in our living room, riding down in our cars, and still be able to broadcast a message to hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people. So a combination between that one-on-one, that storytelling and wonder mixed with technology, and the way that it used the delivery methods like we are doing now, whether it's live stream or recorded podcast or radio, we still can use, actually, we can use all of them. We don't have to limit ourselves. We can, what do you call it, repurpose some of our materials. And that's what we do. Sometimes we do a live stream and then we send it and we turn it into a podcast. Sometimes we just chop it down a little 5-minute beats in pieces so we can publish it out on the different platforms and the different formats or whatever.
What's kind of the maybe one of the craziest things that you have learned from doing it? In other words, you know, like let's say, have you gone to an event or did Frank go to an event or something online and something that you like? Is there a certain number of people that have, let's say, converted that have their lives have totally changed?
Well, we had an event and I don't remember exactly where it was, but Frank told me this is one of the things that we're doing now. I told you that we have a very important meeting this weekend, and we hardly do surveys after these events. But there was one campus, one university campus, because Frank goes in, they do the event, and then the next day he's speaking somewhere else, right? And the same way I go, let's say I'll just spend 10 days in Dominican Republic, and every day I had one or two events, a TV interview, a radio interview, and it was going. By the time I get back to my hotel room, I am worn out. So he was in this event, and then afterwards, about 2 or 3 days later, we get an email from the organizer saying, hey, we did a survey, and several people says, hey, we gave our life to Christ, our faith was emboldened, and you know,
yes.
Because we never do this, he said, well, I wonder if we can actually do that right after the event, or we can send out an email to them so they can do maybe a quick, you know, survey monkey or something like that and let us know what happened. And we were surprised. I think there were over 10 people. They say that the event alone changed their mind. And usually when we go to college campuses, we have an audience somewhere between 300 and 800, 900, depending on what kind of auditorium we get. And, you know, we were surprised because we never look at this since we're always on the go. So we don't have a way to measure. But this was the thing that opened our eyes. And now we are like, okay, we have to figure out how to ask people why they thought about our events, because it really refueled our tank. You know how exhausting somebody's work that we do in ministry could be. And having one person, you know, at an event tell you, hey, this stuff changed my life. Now, we also have some crazy testimonials. Frank was at a college campus, and a Russian man walks up to the mic, big Russian, and he says, hey,
we have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. The shake-up to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder
wonder which came first.
Cyber Station USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. Cyber Station USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
Then download. It's that simple.
Stitcher,
a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
CyberStation USA. Always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The CyberStation, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide. Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.
Frank Durek, I want to thank you for coming here, and I just want to let you know that, you know, I grew up without God in my life. The word God made no sense to us. Somebody gave me your book. Now I give it to everybody that I come in contact with. You know, your stuff changed my life, and I follow, you know, your
right.
social media stuff. So this is the sort of thing that we bump into, and you never
exactly.
know. You know, you never know how God is working. One of the things that I learned from Greg Kokel, he's one of my mentors also. Actually, he's the one that taught me how to be a good live host and how to, you know, do interviews and all this. Because I was, you know, a few years ago, I didn't know anything about this. I had to learn by ear, you know, how to learn to play by ear. So Greg told me, he says, look, sometimes we think that we have to get people to, you know, say yes to the gospel. And we forget that we are here to be gardeners. You know, somebody has planted that seed, and then maybe it happens that you were the one that had to do the harvest that day, and that person came to Christ. But you don't know who planted that seed 3 years ago, 5 years ago, 15 years ago. But we have that mentality that we have to bring them from zero or from A to Z in an afternoon coffee at Starbucks, right? But what I've learned is I want to be a gardener. I want to be able to share the truth with people and feel to see where they are in their faith, if they're open to listening to the gospel, and if they're not at that particular moment, then we can be friends. I continue to come see you.
Exactly.
And then hopefully the Lord will show me or will send somebody else. I don't have to be the one that says,
no,
yes.
It's developing that initial seeing, hearing and seeing of it. Not expected. Not always is it going to resonate, but at one point it will. And you don't know when that will. And that's what teachers do. Teachers
Absolutely.
Provide information, give it to them. They disseminate it, and at one point in time, the light bulb will come on, hopefully, and God willing, and when it does, it does. And that's the thing. So define what you think we're missing in education is for teachers. What are we missing? You talk about teaching the gospel to young people. What are we missing how we teach young people today of all socioeconomic backgrounds in public schools and private schools? Anywhere that you've observed, and I'm sure you've interviewed so many kids about school at one point, talking about their school life and our teachers and everything. What do you think we're missing?
Well, I think that right now, and this is interesting that you tell me, because we right now, my wife and I are on a roller coaster when it comes to the schools here. We just moved to South Carolina, and we have tried a few, and right now we're really struggling to find a good place, a place that we know it's going to be the best for our children. And what we have found is that, number one, the way that the classrooms are set up, so intimate classrooms, we're looking for a smaller size classroom. You guys are teachers, understand that taking care of 25, 30 students is almost impossible, especially if they're middle school and up. You know, hormones are going crazy. They're talking back to you, et cetera, et cetera. But also, I think the teachers should have more freedom to be able to be expressive in the type of content and style that they're going to teach. I think
no doubt. I mean, this is one of the hardest problems why I walked out of the classroom. I mean, is I did not have that ability to teach the way I want to teach. And I had success. And it doesn't matter. Really, they will evaluate teachers not based on your teaching style, based on what they want your teaching style to be. Your creativity. They handcuff many different things. Small class sizes, that argument has gone out so many times. Well, it doesn't matter what size classroom we have. So that conversation's out there, but parents understand you're not the first parent. And Ed, this is becoming a huge movement. I have talked to parents that are disgruntled about their education system today for their kids.
Yeah, there's no question about that. They're disgruntled about it, to be honest with you. I mean, even the teachers are frustrated with it because, you know, I'll give you an example. There's kids, I don't care where you're at, that, school's not the way the one size fits all model, it's not a very effective. We've gotten rid of all the, we used to have all kinds of vocational schools and vocational schools within the schools, and we would have a whole lot more options. And now what they have done is narrowed it down to, very few electives and and just subject matter, just so they can, often they can just teach to the test, which is another reason why we are so enthusiastic about all the progress we're making with school choice. Because, if you want the one size fits all mass education style, then you have that choice. But if you want to go to a different type of school or just homeschool, you should have that choice as well. But we believe that the taxes should follow the student, because what ends up happening is, because the schools, like the school, for example, I'm at a Christian school and it gets shortchanged. Right now it gets, they only get state funding. Yet if that same kid goes to a public school, they're getting, let's say $12,000 in City of Columbus. If it's New York, we're talking about $30,000 per kid. And so they're getting they're getting twice as much as the private school. And that's not right. It's not right for the kid itself. The kid would get twice as much money per child at the other school system. Why does the school that's operating at a higher level get half as much funding? It's not logical to me. And it's also shortchanging their ability to recruit, let's say, whatever they want to do with their money, the same way the public school gets to do, except in the public school situation, almost all of the money goes towards wages, and that's, and I'm glad they, the teachers get paid good money. But, meanwhile, though, who's getting shortchanged in the private or the Christian school that gets, of these school choice schools? Well, the kid does, because they have the resources are not even close to the same. So it's unfair. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. And one of the things that I notice is that we have moved away from one of the things that I wish that we were teaching and the school choice allows you to do is, go back to a more classical approach of education, bring in languages, bring in philosophy and logic. Right. I wish I would have. I guarantee you, if I would have taken a logic class in middle school or in high school, I would have saved 10 years of painful, dumb mistakes in my life. Because I came to Christ when I was 28 years old, and I did it in a federal detention facility, because I had done things when I was 18, and then that came to hunt me 10 years later. And obviously, it was a short period of time when I was able to get out of it and get everything dismissed. And I say, okay, thank you, Lord. But it took me 10 years to get there just because I was an idiot. I didn't know how to think. And I think right now we have a whole generation because of this cookie cutter education system that we have a whole generation of children that think with their feelings. They don't think with their mind. They think with their feelings. And I think we are doing that. And I think school choice will allow you to move away from that and give those tax dollars back to the parents to deposit them and invest them where they see fit for their children. That will empower. I think it is a dangerous thought what we're doing here. Why? Because it will empower the next generation. Those who are given this opportunity will be light years ahead than the rest.
Exactly.
They don't want that. They cannot allow that to happen.
Now, Ed, where do you want to go from here? What is the final kind of question you want to bring to the table for our guest today?
What advice do you have to, let's say, like I said, the last guest we had was Dr. Kent Hovind, and he says, you know, teachers ought to, and school systems should not be, worried about getting in trouble for speaking biblical truth because there's no law against it. And so do you have any advice for schools or school systems or just people that want to expose kids to the biblical truth? Do you have any, advice for getting that to work, to happen?
Well, the obvious will be that we as Christians, and that is one of the things that I see all the time. I travel Latin America, and I see how this, gender ideology and LGBT agenda is moving, and because they're well organized. I think number one, we should get together and quit fighting among ourselves, because that's what the devil makes us do, or the way he attacks us. Let's get together, let's get organized, and also let's show by way of good thinking and education. Let's use this technology that we have right now, that we're using right now, to create more, to disciple others to do what we are doing and to become a movement. Because that's exactly what these other points of view or ideologies are doing. They are creating a movement and they're making it popular and they're showing people, look, it works, it should be implemented, and this is why. But they use emotion. So why can we do the same? But we not only can use the ethos, the pathos, and the logos, we can use all three. They only using the pathos, they only use the emotional thing, right? But we can use all of them. We have the logic behind it, we have our integrity behind ourselves, and we can use the emotional side of it. So I will say, let's get organized and let's show teachers what rights they have and how they can use it. One of the main things that we teach our students whenever they go to college and they have an atheistic professor is the book Tactics by Greg Kokel. And this book will allow you to always be in the driver's seat. And the new edition just came out. It's got like 40% more tactics, more material in it. It's got new tactics, and it will teach you how to always be leading an argument without being argumentative. And you can be a student in front of your biology professor that is teaching you evolution, and by way of asking a question, you can put them in the hot seat and you will never leave the driver's seat. And I think this is one of the things that we have lost. We don't know how to be persuasive. We don't know put forward an argument without being argumentative. And I think if teachers that are for school choice and for truth, for Christianity, can learn how to do this, and if we can get organized and create a movement, I think that we're well on our way, man.
All right. Where's the best place we can find information on you and learn more about you?
Crossexamined.org. That is crossexamined with a D at the end, .org. And from there, you can find everything. We have videos. We have live streams. We have podcasts. We have radio shows. TV shows, you name it, is all there. And all of our stuff is free. Everything. You guys make this possible. Everybody who supports us. So every material that we put out there is free.
appreciate you calling. And again, it's great for you coming by the show. I think that the important thing is you really sold, again, the importance of school choice and this movement that's happening. That, again, Ed is picking up the baton that I started 10 years ago. And I've gone a variety of different ways in my podcasting, radio, and television. But I believe this is such an important thing. Our education system is in the worst shape it's been in probably 8 years to 10 years. And it's just getting worse and it's deteriorating.
We have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. We shake up to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
Cyber Station USA.
Cyber Station USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. Cyber Station USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and Cyber Station USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
Then download. It's that simple.
Stitcher,
a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive Cyber Station USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
Cyber Station USA, always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The cyber station, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide. Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.
And people have to figure out a way to fix it. So I appreciate you calling and coming
by. Thank
you
guys.
All right. Take care.
Thank you guys. Appreciate you guys.
All right. That was the School Choice Show, everybody. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Neil Haley Network's Mike Velarde Show. And I'm excited to welcome to the program Mike Velarde. Mike, how are you? Happy New Year. I always love to chat with you about things, and we're getting closer and closer to election time. And you're constantly just in a moving phase, right? We have the website pulled up again, Velarde2020.com, to learn more about information on Mike. And Mike, the website continues to look great, and I appreciate you coming on.
Hey, thanks. Thanks for having me today. And I got two really special guests, my friend Alan Charles and Matt Soroka, who's been helping me with the data and stuff like that, all the good internet stuff.
Oh, that's key, right? And so you kind of can point your questions, and I'll kind of do some follow-up questions based on what you know about these guys. And so start out, Mike, and I'll ask some of the questions that I have.
All right. Well, Alan and I have been friends for years, and he's a great financial guy, and he's helping me get the money that I need to win this campaign. So matter of fact, he got me the very first guy to start the campaign going. So he's a financial genius. He's a real estate magnate. He's just a really, really bright guy. And Matt's an excellent source for data. He's been doing that sort of stuff for years and years, and is brilliant when it comes to that. So I got two real assets here to help me win this campaign.
And that's great to have assets, because can one of you guys just speak? Because I'll just ask the question. Whoever wants to jump in, jumps in. How important is it for data when running for Congress?
Yeah, hi, this is Matt. It's incredibly important, especially nowadays. You know, internet and new media, the way we're actually conversing and And communicating is all about getting precise data. You want to capture the information from the voters. You want to get what they're interested in. And Mike is exceptional at this. You know, his campaign slogan is be part of the miracle. So, you know, a vote for Mike means that it's vote for a miracle. We want to change things. We want to make sure that everybody is really accounted for. And, you know, the data is important. We want to get access to the right information so we can provide the right services to them.
And that's so key because the information leads to the opportunity, and that's what Mike brings to the team compared to other people. So speak about more and more what else you're doing for Mike.
Well, we're also, of course, you know, with his marketing, with getting the initiatives out to the public, saying that here is a great website that we have, which Velarde 2020, and he's got precise eyesight, that's hindsight 2020, definitely for Velarde. And then what we're also doing is we're focusing on trying to get out the word where we can capture information about what their interests are, what problems they have, and that's on gabhelp.com. So anything that you have, whether it be like insurance or finances, anything with the bank, anything that you have problems with your home or business, you know, put your grievances, put up information about what you have problems with. We definitely will look into it.
Yeah, and these issues can be dealt with, you know, sooner than later. And also when Mike also gets in office, he's going to do his best to get on top of these issues. That's what's got us all excited about assisting Mike in this campaign.
That's huge. So, Mike, that your team continues to grow since when you first announced this. Isn't that true?
Yeah, and matter of fact, we're going to be having a fundraiser the first week Saturday in March. Guy I met when I gave a speech the other day at the REC offered his home. He's a multimillionaire, and he's going to fund the whole thing. You know, hors d'oeuvres, everything. It's going to be $1,000 a plate. So hopefully we'll raise $40,000-$50,000 that night.
So that was the Donald himself?
Yeah. One of his close business associates. We're getting on board. We need to raise the money, and that's what we're focusing on, because Laura Loomer announced she raised $250,000. So we're going to pick up the pace, and by the end of February we'll have 50 to 100. So we'll be able to start competing and, you know, hitting hard on social media with our team, getting the signs out, shirts, all that stuff that needs to get the word out. Because the reality is I'm the most qualified person in this race, and everybody acknowledges that, even my competitors. But the most qualified person doesn't always get elected.
No.
Usually, or it becomes a popularity contest. And that's what's really sad about politics. People are just famous for being famous. And when somebody's 26 years old, like my opponent is, and, you know, she's a nice kid, but she's a kid. She doesn't have any real-world experience. And you need somebody like myself, who was on the job for 22 years as a federal agent, worked on the Joint Terrorism Task Force, 9/11 responder, understand, never lost a case in my 22-year on the job. I've never lost a case. So I'm used to working with U.S. attorneys. I'm used to legislating. I'm a member of FLEOA, the Federal Law Enforcement Officers Association. We're currently always working with Congress to get certain bills passed. You know, and nobody else is doing that. Nobody is involved in the legislative aspect of this. Everybody they're looking to run for Congress to be somebody. Well, I've already been there and done that. I'm looking to get something done. And you need somebody that's going to step up to get something done, and that's who I am.
That's so important. And so looking at that, Mike, let's talk about your opponent in certain ways when you talk about the lack of experience. She's raised more money than you, and that's the big thing, is the fundraiser. But what does she say? What is she promising that you'd say, you know what, she just doesn't have the experience to be able to do this?
Well, the only thing she's really concerned with is, since she's been, well, kicked off Twitter, is the First Amendment, you know, the right to free speech. Because they kicked her off Twitter. She got kicked off all these platforms, being an extremist, so to speak. And that's why I don't think she could ever win the general. But she does have a base and a following, and that's where the money comes from. So, you know, how much, I mean, listen, when I retired from federal service, she was still in high school. So, and we don't need another AOC on the GOP side. We just don't need that.
The concern is that, Mike, you're going to go both sides of the aisle. She's going to the point where she's going to really alienate the district. The district you're in would not like somebody going so crazy that they're not looking at every constituent in the district, only the Republican side.
Right. My issues will appeal to everybody. So, for instance, tax-exempt Social Security. For 40 years, you pay into Social Security. All right. Now, what happens is, let's say you make $100,000 a year. They take $7,000 for Social Security, Medicare tax. You still pay tax on the $100,000. You only saw $93,000. So that $7,000 of phantom income that you never saw, you never had control over, that you just pay tax on. Then, when you're 65 years old and you get that money, it's your money coming back to you. But if you have a pension and any other income, it's taxable. The benefit, the Social Security benefit, is taxable up to 85%. So that's called double taxation. And that's just clearly wrong. I mean, if you give money to an IRA, for instance, what happens is it doesn't count against your income, but you pay tax on it when it comes out. All right? It either should be like that, or if you don't get a benefit like Social Security, it should be tax-free when you receive it. So, and as I go around the district and talk to constituents, another big issue is this: if you're married for 50 years. And you the man has a Social Security benefit of $4,000 a month or $3,000 a month, and your spouse has a benefit of $1,500 a month. When you die, the government comes in and says, "Hey, you can't have both of those Social Securities. You could have one or the other." So that woman ends up losing $1,500 a month, and now she's no longer able to pay her bills. So what happens is we're leaving these widows destitute. Because the government is coming in and stopping the Social Security of the spouse that passed away. So I'm going to propose a bill that will allow that Social Security to continue until that second spouse passes away, so it doesn't cause an undue financial hardship on these widows.
Most definitely. So I want to kind of, delve into, guys, why did you choose Mike? Mike chose you, but you had to make the decision to choose Mike. And I want to hear both of your takes.
Yeah, well, thank you. This is Al speaking. Yes, these policies and whatnot, when we're out in the field, campaigning and fundraising, we tend to speak to a lot of people who their concerns are exactly what Mike's talking about, where they believe there's, overtaxing and whatnot, and they're not getting the voice of their, in their district. Anyone who's looking out for their best interest. And I guess that was the most exciting thing that we saw, that maybe, we could, somebody gets in, that we could really get some help for these people, what they really need, to get more money in their pocket by virtue of their tax, the taxable parts.
I love this policy. I wish that our president would look at how Mike is going across party lines and working with everybody. I mean, we definitely like certain things that President Trump has done in his tenure, but I think that we need to unify, not divide, in this year of the 20s, meaning, I don't know how we call it, the 2020s. We have to really start to unify and not divide.
Yeah, and that's why I have policies that appeal to everybody, like term limits. I don't care if you're Republican or a Democrat. It's just wrong, and it's not what our founding fathers intended, to have people in Congress for 30 years or in the Senate for 40. I mean, it's just wrong. It's not a lifetime job. It's supposed to be, you go in there, you do your civil duty, and you're done. And that's one of the things, that's why I signed on to the term limits amendment, because I think it's necessary. We have these politicians that go in there and make themselves millionaires. They become very corrupt, and I want to stop that corruption. I mean, I'm looking to help the people, plain and simple. So it doesn't matter if you're a liberal or you're a conservative, you're going to have to like the policies that I'm going to Washington to get done. I mean, unemployment's another example. You lose your job, you get $10,000 in unemployment insurance, and that's what it's supposed to be, insurance. You, out of your payroll, they take unemployment taxes because it's for insurance. Guess what happens, though? You get $10,000 in unemployment compensation. The IRS comes along and says, "Hey, wait a minute. we're going to make that taxable, and you're going to have to pay $2,000 on the $10,000 you got. Well, you're unemployed. You're barely paying your bills. Now you got a $2,000 IRS bill you just can't pay. So now you're in debt to the IRS, and you can't get out of it because you're unemployed. So all these poor people that get unemployment compensation, well, the other hand, one hand the government's giving you help, the other hand they're taking it back from you. So that's another issue I plan to address because it's just wrong.
No, it's absolutely wrong, and it's just not the way you can do things. So for our other guest, because, again, it's hard when I'm not seeing you guys on video, why did you choose Mike?
So this is Matt. Actually, it's pretty obvious. I've known Mike for a number of years, very good friends. And, you know, we have this thing with we basically gab each other and talk about politics. And, you know, sometimes it gets a little vocal. Sometimes we, just like anybody, especially nowadays, you know, it's viewpoints. And there's not many people who will say, you know what, I'm going to do something about it. It's one thing to talk about it, and that's why we talk. Sorry, I've got to plug again with the, you know, Velarde2020.com and then also Gab Help. So we're gabbing and then we're helping. So it's important that we have to make sure that we do something about it. And really, Mike was the only one that's.
We have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. The shakeup to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
Cyber Station USA.
Cyber Station USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. Cyber Station USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
Then download. It's that simple.
Stitcher,
a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archived CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
CyberStation USA, always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The cyber station, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide. Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio.
The future.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.
Stood up and said, you know what, I'm going to do something about it. You know, it's nice to talk about it. Everybody's correct on their views, and it voices most of the people out there. But to actually come up to the plate and actually swing the bat, Mike's doing that.
Definitely, I agree. The stuff I love, and this is what I like, is the fact that to have more money in people's pockets. We can't be overtaxed where we can't spend our money. So many people are taking on second and third jobs now, and it's a shame because of the number of taxes we're paying and how we're not keeping money in our pockets. So people just work more and more and are away from each other because of the taxes. And healthcare is one of the number one reasons why people have two or three jobs, because they need money to pay for healthcare. And we need to fix those situations, and our seniors need to have money in their pockets and not become so poor that they can't really live. And that's really a problem, Mike.
Well, that's why the health care is the other thing that I've addressed. You see, what the Democrats want to do is they want to tax everybody, 75% tax rates, make everybody poor to give you a single-payer health care plan that's just worth shit. I mean, nobody's saying I want to go to Russia because they have better health care. That's not happening, okay? So what I do is my plan offers tax incentives to the wealthy to give medical scholarships. So, for instance, if Michael Bloomberg wants to give $300,000, we'll give him 100% tax deduction and a 2% tax credit. Okay, so that 2% tax credit comes right off his tax bill, so he'll pay $6,000 less. But that's a small price to pay to get $300,000 from him to give to medical scholarships. Then what we do is we take those scholarships, we give them to the best students, with the understanding that when they come out, they'll work for the state. Now, why the state? Because by working for the state, you get rid of the two most important healthcare costs in healthcare. One is the medical bill. There's no need for a medical bill because you're going to go see your state doctor. And secondly, you're going to have the medical malpractice insurance. The states are sovereign, so they can limit that. So now you can provide healthcare to anybody for $79 a month with a copay. Because we never want to give anything for free. Because as soon as you make it free, it's abused. If McDonald's says we're giving away free hamburgers, there's going to be some idiot that goes there and says, hey, I want 1,000 of them. And what I don't need, I'll give to the ducks. Okay, but when you have a copay in there, whether it's $20, $15, whatever the copay is, they're only going to go to the doctor if they absolutely have to.
Oh, absolutely. It's crazy. And I was just checking people out to show that also I'm showing on while you're speaking, Mike, how people can go listen to the Mike Velarde show as well and check out all the different interviews we've done so far. And how that's great. But all these things, you're here for the people. And some other stuff to kind of add to this is I believe that you really are for the people. Explain that background to our listeners that have not tuned in to learn more about your background and the fact of how you go to fight for the individual person and your background and your professional work.
Well, right. For the last 9 years, I've owned Winning Tax Solutions. Winning Tax Solutions is a company where we represent the people before the Internal Revenue Service. And I fight for the taxpayer. So if the IRS comes and they seize your bank account, or they want to lien you, or they want to garnish your wages, I'm the guy that comes and protects you. And I've had a lot of success. I mean, if you go to winningtaxsolutions.com, you could read all the testimonials. I mean, recently I actually won a case for my ex-wife where they assessed her a $20,000 tax bill, and I ended up settling for the IRS for $50.99, okay, because they had wrongly assessed her. And she put a very nice Yelp review for me. So I represent people, and I fight for them, and I've had, like I said, Al has given me a lot of clients. I mean, that's how Al and I have been friends, and I've helped a lot of his friends through that. So I'm used to fighting the government and winning. I mean, recently I won an appeals case in New York where I got over $688,000 of wrongly assessed taxes abated for two doctors, okay? So there's few people you find who can get that kind of stuff done. I've actually settled $250,000 IRS tax bills for $500. So I am used to fighting the government, and I'm used to winning. Now, of course, I do have an advantage. I worked for them for 22 years. I was an IRS criminal investigator for 22 years. So I do know all the ins and outs of how the IRS operates, which gives me a tremendous advantage. But what I really find, I mean, I find that people like me a lot more on this side of the aisle when I'm helping them save money on taxes than when I was arresting them for tax fraud.
I'm pulling up on the website your experience, and I think the next show we have to look at I hate to look at competitors' experience, but what I love about this website is we have Twitter connection, you have your SoundCloud, you have your Instagram, your LinkedIn, but then look at your business experience, U.S. government experience, all of these different things. And if you're listening to this radio show, go to Velarde2020.com and you can check all these different things out. You have a wealth of knowledge, and your candidate is inexperienced. How can she expect to win in the general election against the Democrat? Who's the Democrat you'll be, if you win, Mike, who will you be running against?
Look, Lois Frankel. And Lois Frankel is a tax and spend liberal. She's not well liked in the area. She's just been around a long time. She was mayor of Palm Beach for a while, so she has name recognition. But as far as the results she's gotten, absolutely terrible. And that's why I think we could flip this district. But I don't think Laura Loomer can do it, because as soon as Laura Loomer gets to the general, Lois Frankel's going to be showing commercials of her crying. I can't believe they took me off grid. Oh God, what am I going to do? My life's ruined. I mean, you're going to see those scenes. You're going to see her smoking weed with Roseanne Barr, and everyone's going to go, well, why is she qualified to be in Congress? You know, and that's a problem. You look at my experience. Listen, I was an executive with the Ford Motor Company for 3 years. I graduated college with honors. I got a master's degree. I got an MBA in finance and management. So I've ran my own business for 9 years. I was a treasury agent for 22. I was in the Joint Terrorism Task Force, on the Eldorado Drug Task Force. I was the guy that was arresting the Russians when they were stealing the gas tax in New York, and we had to have the law changed. All right. So
this experience just blows me away, man. I didn't know all about this. We got to talk about this on the Mike Velarde show. Some of your government experience as well. I'm blown away.
Yeah. And to add to that, Michael is very hands-on, unlike anyone else in the industry, where they give the client to the underlings and they just put their face out on the front. So Mike, you know, I can tell you through experience, I've sent Mike at least 40, 45 clients, and every one of them have, you know, had a good dealing with him, and also stated that, you know, he handled their case with tender care himself.
Yeah, and I get the job done. I get results. If you want to get results, you come see me. And I've had people call me from all over the country and say, I heard you're the best, I need to hire you. And I say, you're absolutely right, you do. And then I get the results for them. And that's what it's about, results. And when I go to Congress, I am going to get results for the people. Okay. I mean, another thing, let me just give you another example. We're talking about putting money in people's pockets. If you lose $30,000 in the stock market, okay, on your Schedule D, for instance, the government only allows you to write off $3,000 a year. It takes you 10 years to recoup that $30,000. Well, that's ridiculous. I had losses from the 90s. I'm still writing off because you can only claim up to $3,000 a year. Well, we're going to take that $3,000 and make it $10,000. So you recoup that $30,000 loss in 3 years instead of 10 years. It's much fairer for the people.
I tell you, you're the tax guy, and that's what people have to understand, but you're also the ideas guy. For people, biggest thing Mike needs so that Mike can win this election is contributions. And we're right now on the website. When you go to VelardeDuardi2020.com, you click on contribute today, and it says Velarde for Congress, and you can go make your donation right there. And that's something we'll have to definitely tweet out as well, Mike, on a regular basis, is this website is a wealth of knowledge, and it definitely speaks to who you are as a candidate and really shows people Velarde for Congress. There's more for Mike Velarde if he can win this and beat Ms. Frankel. I really believe you might have found an interesting other career path in politics, but I believe it's because you go to work every day.
Yeah, and I go to work for the taxpayer every day. And not to mention, I mean, I also wrote 3 books. I mean, you can go to MikeVelardeBooks.com and get my latest book on prophecy. I mean, so I'm a published author. I was on TV for 10 years, where I had the opportunity to sit down with jihadists, true terrorists, like Kamal Saleem and Zachariah Anani, a guy that killed 234 people committing jihad. That was Zach. I mean, Kamal was the number 3 guy in the PLO. He went to the Saudi king and got the Saudi king to commit to billions of dollars to fund jihad. And he came over here to design the Islamic takeover of America, you know, before he got into a car accident and became a Christian. And that's what he was here doing while he got in that accident. He wrote a book called The Blood of Lambs, and it's an amazing read. So I know people, I've done stuff. I mean, like I said, there's nobody else that's been on television, been on radio, wrote books, has my government experience, 22 years as a federal agent, never losing a case. 3 years as a Fortune 500 executive, master's degree. I got a 26-year-old opponent who's famous for being famous and taking migrants to Nancy Pelosi's house and dropping them on the lawn.
All right. Well, I appreciate you, your show. Best place, VelardiVelardi2020.com. Also, MikeVelardiBooks.com. And I appreciate the rest of the guys coming on to speak about what they're doing for Mike and why they're going to work for Mike. So everyone go to work now. I appreciate you guys calling.
Don't forget GabHealth.com.
GabHealth.com. Is that GABHealth.com, sir?
Yes, that's it.
All right, GabHealth.com as well. I appreciate you guys calling and
look forward to next week.
All right, take care. All right, thanks.
We have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. The shakeup to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
CyberStation USA.
CyberStation USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. CyberStation USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop-shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
Then download. It's that simple.
Stitcher,
a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
CyberStation USA, always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The CyberStation, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide.
Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio. The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.